Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 110 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, joined by Christian Hoffer and a new face joining the show, Rollin Bishop, heads up our gaming department. Welcome back, everybody, for another fun week of Pokemon news.
Yes, and welcome to Rollin, who, unlike Megan, wears a hat.
Thank you. That is my big differential. Like, that's what I bring to the podcast is hats.
It looks like I have passed along my crushing headache to Megan, who is facing a crushing headache this week, so she can't be with us. She is here with us in spirit, though, where I'm sure, you know, we're going to be talking about the EV cards coming up in just a second. A lot of good news this week. I'm glad that we are back to a very disturbing Pokemon fact of the week this week. So this is a good one. So stay tuned to the end of the show for that. If you are listening, if you've just found the show and you are listening via audio, wherever podcasts can be found, we also do this live every Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. across the pond. And those are the only time conversions I know off the top of my head. So so we've got that. And so, you know, if you ever want to get in, join the chat, you know, last week we had to do the intro like 5 times. So so, you know, that happened. You miss those kinds of shenanigans when you watch the show live. Also, you can get involved in our very bumpin' chat. We take a lot of suggestions from the chat. We read a lot of your comments and things like that. So definitely, if you have the opportunity to, I highly recommend checking it out, knowing that it's not for everyone. You're not missing anything if you're just listening to the audio. I have gone way too far on this tangent. So let's just move along.
So we have some breaking Pokemon news.
Oh, breaking Pokemon news. That almost never happens. It usually happens the day after we record the show.
Yes, this is actually, you know, we have lots of Pokemon news, but literally I just saw this, and this is a pretty crazy story. It's not a Charizard card, but it's pretty darn close.
Okay.
We have the new set, Chilling Rain, that's coming out soon. Yes. People are discovering a super rare card. Like, you know, like a card that cannot usually be found anywhere. So this is, there's a staff. So, you know, if you work for the Pokemon company, occasionally you will be given like super exclusive promo cards that literally say staff on them. You know, these are not for public consumption. These cards have accidentally made their way into the build and battle boxes. So far,
no way.
Yeah, two Cinderace staff cards have been found. And like these are kid you not. I kid you not. These are like legitimately like some of the rarest cards you will find. Period.
So, you know how we were talking last week about how we thought maybe things got back to normal since Target and Walmart and whatever were putting Pokemon cards back up on shelves with no restrictions or whatever? Well, I'm sure next week we'll be reporting differently because yeah. That's going to be now. But are those sets sold at like the big card stores, or are those mostly reserved for gaming stores?
These are gaming stores. So, you know, okay. In the normal times, Build'em battle boxes are, you can go to these pre-release events, yep, and you take your build'em battle box. It comes with some base cards that you can, you know, that everyone gets, you know, kind of like to help fill out your deck. You know, it comes with some energy card. Actually, I don't know if they come with energy cards because it's been like 2 years since I did one because, you know, pandemic. But, you know, it comes with some supporter cards and, you know, trainer cards. And then it comes with several packs of cards. And so you get to open those cards and, you know, build a deck around them. And you're guaranteed to get like one of like four basically pre-release promo cards, which, you know, they're usually rare cards. They're not like, you know, VMAX cards or V cards or anything like that. But they're decent cards. So you know,
Christian, are we to assume that the print rate on these is fairly high, or it just like just got shuffled into the mix? We don't know.
We don't know. We know that two of them exist, which leads me to believe that probably what happened is like a sheet of these cards that, you know, was supposed to go to the Pokemon company accidentally got mixed in somehow with
you know, it almost feels like a Wonka golden ticket kind of thing, right?
That
like,
is literally how it's being described as.
Look, we obviously this is going to be ruined by scalpers, of course. But it's when we get news like this, it does bring a little bit of joy to be like, oh, like, okay, you know, either. You know, obviously there are the secret rares and whatever that you look for in the regular packs or whatnot, but these feel even more special.
Yeah. So. So that was the breaking news. That was not on script. I apologize. You know, we have a new guest and we immediately go off script, as one does.
I want to take a second, obviously, to introduce Rollin, to said audience. Rollin, can you give us a little bit about what your Pokemon, like what your Pokemon backstory is, so we or may not judge you for it?
Yeah. I mean, a big Pokemon game fan since the early days, you know, Red and Blue, my first ones, watched the anime as a kid, had all the VHS that they put out. I took a break there around, I think, what was it, Emerald, and then came back for Diamond and Pearl, and have been playing ever since. And, you know, during that time, obviously been covering video games, so much more into Pokemon now than even when I was a kid, probably. I don't think you can see any, but there's plenty of Pokemon nonsense in this room off screen.
Favorite Pokemon?
This is a tough one because it changes all the time, but probably it's very basic. Probably just Squirtle. I'm a big fan of the Squirtle Squad. Like,
yeah, you know,
that's fair.
That's a perfectly acceptable choice. You know, no Bulbasaur, but it is an acceptable choice. It's, you know, no Bulbasaur, but then again, it's not Geodude. So
stop it. All right, chat. Let's not let Rollin feel alone. Put your favorite Pokemon in the chat. So Rollin can see who everyone else's favorite Pokemon are. Leopard fan. We already know who yours is. So, you know, you can sit this one out. That's fine. You can just say present and we'll know. Okay, well, cool. Well, Rollin, thank you. We've been meaning to have you on the show for a while. Excited to have you here. Let's get into some more trading card game news. Evolving Skies has finally been announced.
Yeah, so we talked about this last month. Time just all, you know,
yes,
kind of blends together. But Evolving Skies is the upcoming set. It will be released in August. It combines, it brings back dragon type Pokemon cards, and that is a big change. The other thing is it will include Megan's beloved Eevee cards. In fact, the Eevees and it's their respective evolutions are, you know, very prominently featured. It comes with four types of elite trainer boxes. So they're going to keep on riding that. we're just getting more of those.
It like came out of nowhere, right? Like I guess the first one was Battle Styles, or they're like, oh, we're gonna give you two different ones, and then we got two different ones for Chilling Rain, and now we're giving you four.
Yeah, so two of these will be Pokemon Center exclusive, and two of them are just normal, and basically the only difference is what like the card sleeves that you get.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Evolving Skies, it's coming in.
This is a highly anticipated set. I mean, look, the Japanese set for, you know, with all the EV evolutions and whatnot has definitely been one that, you know, a lot of people were trying to get their hands on. The cards look great.
I will say that the cards I've seen so far out of the set look phenomenal. Like apparently the pandemic has really increased the quality of artwork coming out. Like I like Pokemon card art. I've always have, but you know, the sets that have been coming out lately look just phenomenal. Phenomenal.
So, so we'll be on the look for that. Definitely looking to see, definitely excited to see dragon type cards come back. We'll probably, hopefully that means we get another new Gyarados. I do love Gyarados is probably one of, without fail has always had very cool looking cards.
Yeah.
I don't think there are bad Gyarados cards. All right, so we'll move on to the next topic for today. Niantic, publisher of such games as Pokemon Go and the Harry Potter game we don't talk about, is getting into Transformers. Now, that's obviously not a Pokemon thing, but because they make Pokemon Go, there's an interesting chat because obviously, like I said, we've talked about the relative or not success of the Harry Potter game. And so the question I pose to you guys, and Christian, I'll let you kind of brief us on like what it actually is. But the question I want to get into after that is, do we believe that the lack of interest per se for the Harry Potter game was more because of the franchise and maybe the mechanics of it, or do we just think that like that game was inherently more broken than Pokemon Go? You know, that Pokemon Go has its own issues, but it's not a broken game.
Well, Roland, did you play Wizards Unite?
I did. I very briefly played Wizards Unite, and look, the thing about it is, you can argue whether the Harry Potter franchise is just a worse fit for sort of Niantic's whole design philosophy, right? Or if it's just
catching wizards is a little weird,
right? Like, or you can argue like the popularity of Harry Potter has waxed and waned, and maybe it's in sort of, you know, not a great place right now for various reasons. Yeah. But look, Pokemon and Transformers comparatively makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of Transformers, you know, toy franchise kind of thing. Got to catch them all. Could easily apply to both, whereas for Harry Potter it just doesn't make a lot of like cohesive sense, right? So I don't know. I'm excited. I think it'll be interesting.
So you know, kind of following up on that, one of the big differences I think between this you know, Wizards Unite and this upcoming Transformers game, and we don't know a ton about it. No. We know that the game is going to be called Transformers Heavy Metal. We know that instead
I love
of
it already it, great we, name.
I like the name a lot. We know that how it's going to work is it's going to be a lot more battle focused, which makes sense. Big freaking Absolutely. Robots. And I think that is like one of the big things that Harry Potter didn't do right. Was they made it about collecting. And while collecting is, you know, a part of Transformers Heavy Metal, it seems to be that the emphasis is on turn-based battles. The other big difference, and you know, no one's really picked up on this besides comicbook.com, is that Niantic is not actually leading game development here. It's their platform, and they're the ones to, I don't know the exact details, but they are not the like primary developer of the game. It is a small Seattle company called Very Very Spaceship, which comicbook.com has actually previously covered some of the stuff that they do back during the pandemic, because there are several comics people who work for that company. So their narrative designer is actually a comics artist named Jen Vaughn, who she's done work at D&D. She's done, you know, comics for years, you know, and, you know, the whole gauntlet from like, you know, super indie stuff working for Fanta to, you know, she's done comics for IDW, I think DC. So, but she's the narrative, she's, you know, the lead narrative designer for Very Very Spaceship, and therefore she's the lead narrative designer for this game. So we might actually get a plot, is what I'm trying to say. And that, I think that's like the big difference, is that this seems to be a game that, you know, you can make a pretty basic, you know, Transformers comics and games and TV shows and all that stuff. You don't need much of a plot. It's you got your Autobots, you got your Decepticons, and they fight each other. We might actually get a plot in this game, which is something that they haven't done for, you know, the Harry Potter stuff. They sort of came up with this convoluted ish story.
I don't know what you're talking about. Pokemon Go has a great story. The professor pops up in the corner and he tells me what to do, and it's for the sake of Pokemon research. What more story do you want?
Well, you don't really need a story for Pokemon. Pokemon, they don't have stories. You know, that's the thing. I do think Transformers is a good fit for what Niantic does. I think that it's, you know, like I said, and apparently Niantic's been trying to get this license for like nearly a decade. They've the press release, they mentioned like, yeah, we've been trying to make a Transformers game for 8 years. Yes. Which makes sense. Roland, you've covered other Transformers games. I know you're more of a fan of Transformers than I am. So I'm putting you on the spot. Like, you know, how have been, like, you know, what sort of bar should we be looking for Transformers games? Because I don't think there's been a good Transformers game in a while, has there?
especially mobile.
It really depends. If you're looking at like console stuff, there have been some minor stuff. Probably the most well-known, Platinum Games took a shot at a Transformers video game not that long ago, and it had all the traditional like Platinum Games developer of like Bayonetta and stuff, so a very action focused title. It was pretty well received, but like nothing major of, you know, any note. If this comes out and is popular, it'll certainly be the most popular Transformers game in years and years and years. Having it on mobile, obviously a lot of availability there. That's always something that I think Hasbro is going to like give like a yes, we do want that. It's just going to come down to how it actually plays, whether people pick it up. We already knew, you know, that the Pokemon fans were willing to go to mobile before Pokemon Go really came out. You know, there had been a lot of clamoring for a more mobile Pokemon game before that happened. Whether that interest is there for Transformers franchise fans, I don't know. But having Niantic involved, even if they're not like the lead developer on this, even if it's just using the platform that Niantic has built, is a big win for the game in general. Pokemon Go, obviously huge. You know, the Pikmin game that Nintendo is working on with Niantic is probably also going to be just as huge because Nintendo is going to push it pretty hard. Harry Potter, we won't talk about, but Transformers could be very, very big.
Nice. All right. Well, continuing on the Pokemon Go front, any of you make sure you got your Galarian Slowpokes?
Yes, I have gotten my Slowpoke. I did complete the collection challenge over the weekend. Wasn't very hard. I liked this collection challenge.
This was a good one.
Because it wasn't a pain in the butt to complete.
Which I mean, we've talked about it over the last couple of weeks. The last couple of events and like special things that they have done have been real, like they've been fun, right? They're not, they haven't really felt like a slog to get through. The community day, you know, we thought was perfectly priced, right? And it's nice knowing that on most weekends I can open up Pokemon Go and there is something new ish for me to do, and I feel like it's been that way for the last couple of weeks, which is nice.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I really liked, I was kind of pessimistic about the June events because they didn't announce very much. And it felt like the season of discovery, this new season that we're in, was off to a very slow, excuse the pun, start. But I kind of like the more leisurely pace. And I think that it is very deliberate. And it also makes me more excited for when they do go like nuts during Pokemon Go Fest, which will be here in early July.
Hey, Roland, do you have a shiny Charizard?
I do not have a shiny Charizard. Are you offering or are you asking for one?
No, just asking.
Okay. Here's the difference, Jim. you regularly appear on a Pokemon podcast. This is Rollins' first time. If Rollins starts showing up and appears in like approximately 105 of 110 episodes, then I too will start giving him flack for not having a shiny Charizard. That, sir, is the difference between you and Roland. I know what Roland's level is in Pokemon Go, and it is much lower than your level. You have no excuse, Jim.
I feel like we were both called out there, Jim. We've both just been hoisted.
It's like, yeah, I already know that Roland's a filthy casual, but you, Jim, you I expected more from.
I will say, the leisurely pace stuff, I very much appreciate, because as Hoffer hinted at there, I am not as big of a Pokemon Go maniac as my two friends here on the podcast. But like, I love Pokemon Go Fest. I love participating in the various events when I find the time. Obviously, this past week has been madness with E3 2021 going on, but I really enjoy doing that. And the ability
to find the time. I'm playing right now.
To not be constantly overwhelmed or feel like I'm missing out if I'm not playing every single day is really helpful for me to get back in and play, which I tend to do in like spurts when I realize that something cool is happening or something, you know, Christian is telling me about some upcoming event. And that's when I'm like, oh, I definitely want to participate in that. And like, I play the console games way more, and like the ability to transfer and stuff has really increased the amount of Pokemon Go that I actually do play. So like the moment something cool is happening in Pokemon Go, like I'm primed to do it. But if it's like one single day event or something that's like happening while I'm watching my kids, it's a tough go. So like, you know, the leisurely pace, I approve. I like it.
Yeah. Well, good. Do you have a favorite Pokemon like in Pokemon Go that you've caught that you have like you feel kind of personal kinship with?
I don't know. I don't think so. There are like my go-tos just because I had a ton of candy for them. I think there's like a Snorlax that I use almost constantly. And then there is a shiny Electivire that I had gotten from a previous event that is a big favorite of mine. I think if I had to pick one, it's the Electivire. So
I have my lucky Alolan Golem. That's my jam. That's my boy. Near and dear. He is my best friend.
I did get a shiny Regirock this weekend.
Did you?
Yeah.
Saw that.
And he was very good. I faced many Regirocks and caught zero.
It was funny because I even thought to myself, like, I was like, when the Regirock invite came out, I was like, yeah, should I do it? Should I not do it? What happens if it's shiny? Might as well give it a try. And then, boom, shiny. I was like, yeah. Add that to my shiny legendary collection that I have. Like, actually, I have a fair amount of shiny legendaries.
You know what? I was just thinking today that I'm probably going to have to do is, well, you know what we should do, and this is now just like business talk right now, right? So congratulations. But like on our like background thing, we should definitely put our trainer codes for the people who are watching live, and then should put our trainer codes in the podcast description for people who with the episode descriptions for people who want to join in, because we get that a lot. A lot of people are like, oh hey, like, just, you know, I'll always accept extra gifts or raids. I love the raids. Thank you.
I wish I could do them more. I get a lot of invites, so I kind of have to pick.
Yeah, don't take it personally if I say no, because I'm either doing something. All right, last thing before we take a quick break, we're getting Meloetta for the next event.
Oh yes. So this is the Pokemon Go Fest. Pokemon Go confirmed that Meloetta, I think that's how it's pronounced.
I am with you on that one.
I'm sure we will get yelled at. I can't wait. I can't wait for the next 5-star review, which is like, great podcast, but what is your malfunction on the pronunciations? they did confirm. Now, we knew this. We knew that Pokemon Go Fest 2021 was going to be Meloetta. It's because it's a music festival. You obviously have the musical Pokemon for the music festival, but they did confirm it. Now, there was something that is kind of interesting, very unlikely, but still interesting. I'm going to bring it up, even though I know it's not right. when they first started teasing it, they used the shiny symbol in the graphic. Now, chances are Niantic's, you know, graphics department just got a little wild with the image assets, but it does make me wonder, like, what if, because we've never gotten shiny Meloetta in any Pokemon game ever. Mm-hmm. And Pokemon Go seems to, I don't know what they've got over the Pokemon company, but they give, you know,
it's called money.
It's called $1.5 billion.
It is called money.
But they it's possible that we could see shiny Meloetta for the first time. I doubt it. It makes, you know, I like, as the skeptic slash pessimist, and I'm about to eat crow here in an upcoming segment. but you know, it is a little intriguing. Like, what if, you know, they do something like they did for Pokemon Go Tour, where they really shine Mew for the first time ever outside of Japan. So yeah, we'll see. We'll stay tuned for more on that.
Still on my giving everyone gifts hunt to knock that task off my freaking list.
You'll get there, Jim.
Yeah, eventually.
Someday. All right. We will be back in 60 seconds. We got to pay for the show. And when we come back, we have some more Pokemon trading card game news to talk about.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Oh boy. Here we go, Christian. Are you ready? This is what Christian was talking about. So, unfortunate naming conventions aside, or they continue or whatever with the V model of naming these cards, Pokemon Company has announced something called V Union cards.
Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you put two V cards together.
Yes. These, that has no other meaning. So
many episodes ago, and this is probably something that either Liepard Pokefan or Rankin may remember where exactly is. We were talking about the Transformers card game for a bit. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I had liked about some of the mechanics of that game was putting a bunch of cards together to make like a mega card, right? For like Gigantamax, basically. Well,
and I said,
and Christian said,
it will never happen a million years. sure enough, we have V Union cards. So these are cool cards. Like, one, the art is phenomenal.
Of course, all of my ideas are brilliant. Of course they would be cool cards.
So
yes, Jim, my boss, all of your ideas are brilliant. Let me take a big sip right here.
So this is kind of a supersized version of the Pokemon Legends cards that we got way back in Heart Gold and Soul Silver era. So what V Union cards are you have four cards. And you have to, and it forms one humongous V Union card. So in order to play a V Union card, you need to have all four parts of your V Union card in your discard deck. So literally, we're basically introducing the big difference between Pokemon Legend cards, which they had, like, they released, I think, like a total of 10 of those during Hearts, Soul Silver and Heart Gold. was for those cards, you need to have them in your hand and then you played them at once. For this, you need to have them in your discard pile. So this is kind of like the opposite of like it's kind of like a reverse mill deck, you know, to get into like Magic.
It's Pokemon Exodia.
Yeah, it is Pokemon Exodia, but the Exodia cards you need to play, right. You know, you need to have them like on your, you know, on your battlefield. I forget what the terms are for Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I haven't played that in 20 years. But, you know, and once all five of those cards are out, you win. So this the makeup is similar, but the V Union cards are all four cards have to be in your discard deck. So you're literally trying to discard through your deck as quick as you can to get the cards that you want into your discard pile. And then boom, you suddenly have like a super powered Pokemon, which has like eight moves, like legitimately multiple abilities, like multiple moves. It can really mess you up.
Have they announced? Did they announce like what Pokemon will get some of these? I have not seen the announcement yet.
The initial ones are Mewtwo, Greninja, and give me a second. I'm forgetting. Oh, and Zacian. Zacian is the third.
Oh, all right.
So now, you know, I'm going to put Roland on the spot here because Roland knows nothing about Pokemon cards. Hit me. Don't believe. But you are an expert at Magic. You know, that is one of your specialties. And like, you know, my first thought was this is kind of like a Magic mechanic because, you know, like getting cards into your discard pile, that's a legit strategy in Magic cards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, playing from your graveyard, as it's called in Magic the Gathering, is super, super common. And they continue to introduce different mechanics and things. And in fact, in one of the more popular formats right now, you basically have to run a card. I believe it's called, I'm going to say this wrong. I think it's Torment's Crypt. Anyway, you run a card specifically just to remove the other opponent's graveyard because there's so many different mechanics and things that can be done with cards that have already been, you know, in Pokemon terms, discarded. So, yeah, it's a big mechanic in Magic.
So and like, you know, I feel like the Pokemon company is kind of like leveling up here that we're, you know, because there are some, you know, cards that, you know, you can you never really are trying to discard cards from your deck because, you know, if you run out of cards, you lose. But, you know, there are cards that allow you to pull cards out of your discard pile and, you know, play stuff. But this is like the first time that we've deliberately had like a no.
Just you're actively, you know, feeling you're, like you're trying to throw the game to get to winning the game, basically.
You know, like I said, I'm not like a super proficient Pokemon card player, but I cannot remember a time in which there have been decks that are specifically built around discarding your own cards. Mm-hmm. And that's and as part of this, they are even introducing, yes, there are cards that let you discard because, you know, you want to try to, like, you know, you can discard cards and try to draw up to your hand again. And so, you know, there are cards that allow you to cycle to get to what you want. And this is kind of like similar to that. But, you know, the difference is, you know, the cycling is you're trying to get the cards that you want in your hand. You're not trying to burn through your deck, get the cards you want in your discard pile, and then play it. So that's the big difference.
It also takes a bit of time, too, right? Like, that's like there's a bit of a time component there to try and to work your way kind of through it. Although it'd be interesting to see, and I think Leiper mentioned it, there is absolutely zero chance that we do not get a Charizard.
Oh, 100%. This is we have not gotten a Charizard card in like 6 months, and this is how they bring it back.
And look, when I am going to be on the hunt for that, and this blank wall space right here behind me, and I'm going to frame that sucker and put it right there because I think it's going to be perfect.
Yeah. So,
but also I turned my card open camera on, so I want to go through some. I opened up two decks, so I want to see what we get. But go ahead, Christian.
I was literally going to, you know, bring up the fact that we need like a new graphic for when you switch to your card
when I switch cameras. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. I opened up two packs. I did not even look at the code card because I don't like. I hate that kind of gives it away kind of thing. Like if you're going to get a good card or not. So I didn't even look at it. So let's see what we get. Last week, I think it was like 50-50 on good cards or versus some garbage.
I thought you got jumped. No.
It was, no, you're right. It was mostly Garbo. I got all my good stuff when I was doing Community Day, Gible Community Day, right, off on another stream. All right, here we go. We got water, echoing horn.
Oh, the scroll of piercing. That goes good with V cards.
Avery, Brawler, Jesus Christian, Gullet, Porygon. Oh, that's a cool Grookey. Haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, no, I like that one.
Mareep.
I like
Reverse
that.
Hollow Reverse Haunter. Hollow. That's a cool one. And hey,
Shandaconda V.
Shandaconda V card. That's a pretty cool one.
Yeah. Right. Is that a single strike or is that just a general?
It is a general. It is neither of the strikes.
Like I said, you know, that scroll of piercing is a single strike card, so you use it to build your
Yeah. All right. Energy. Peony. Is it Peony's first card? First card for Peony? Makes sense. And Chilling Rain.
Chilling Rain. Man, there's a lot of trainer cards in these.
Yep. Quillish. Oh, I love this one. Galarian Slowpoke.
He's asking you to paint him like one of his French girls.
I don't understand what that's about. Weedle. I love, you know me, I love these.
Yeah.
another Mareep. Reverse holo, rapid strike, Malamar, and holo Cinderace.
And that is the promo card that you're looking for in those build and battle boxes with the staff. That, you know, so it'll have a little gold staff on the left hand side of the
gold staff on
Jim's
this.
Looking for it's it not now. In there, Tim. You won't have a break.
He's like, maybe.
You
maybe.
Don't know. You don't know. All right. Let's get a little absurdity out of the way. And then we'll get to the disturbing Pokemon fact of the week. So we talked about the fact that Logan Paul wore his Charizard card out to his fight with Floyd Mayweather.
Actually, I don't think we talked about that on the podcast because we talked about it certainly.
Oh, well, anyway, he did that, right? And so it was a BGS 10, right? I think it was a perfect 10, which I believe, is a good card. Is a card that is worth a decent amount of money. Logan Paul is now trying to claim that card is worth $1 million.
So, Roland, you have covered Logan Paul probably more than anybody else on comicbook.com. And we're both looking at the reason why.
I will say reluctantly, but yes, probably true.
So, do you think that someone will pay Logan Paul $1 million for a card that he wore around his neck before he got the snot kicked out of him by Floyd Mayweather?
Yes, absolutely.
This is a complicated question to answer. Whenever Logan Paul is involved, you really have to throw out all rational thought. Step one. Step two, is the card part of history now? Part of this fight? Does that increase its value? Probably, especially to people who are Logan Paul fans, especially to people who are Logan Paul and Pokemon fans. Does it make it worth $1 million? I don't know. I couldn't possibly say. Logan Paul is known for, let's say, hyperbole. I think it will sell for more than what the card itself is just worth.
Which I believe is around three. Is it 300?
Yeah, I think that's like the three or four is where they're going for nowadays.
Yeah. So will it sell for more than that? Absolutely. 100% it will. Will it sell for $1 million? I very much doubt it. I don't think it's going to be worth that. Even if he does like actually sell it, right? Like there's no guarantee that that happens. He just is saying it's worth that much and maybe it's worth that much to him in his heart.
Someone with not enough knowledge on the marketplace, but like knows that, you know, Logan Paul has gotten into various investment things and whatever, and has seen stuff spike when he gets involved and whatever, will go ahead and pay the money. Now, we'll say the population on that card, like the BGS Perfect 10, whatever, is very low. And so I think Acme White in the chat saying, yeah, I think there may be only three. And so, you know, as far as grading goes, and when you have low populations and things, you know, things like that, it's a thing. But the problem is that just like Leopard Fan's mentioning, is that there's no way it's going to hold that kind of value. Like, if you buy it and hold on to it for another 20 years, maybe, right? But that is hoping that the rise and fall waves of card popularity and collecting and all that, like, go. Like, is this that's like putting it on par with like a Michael Jordan card, right? And we're definitely not there yet.
The only way that specific card retains its value is if Logan Paul does something that pushes him from, and I say this respectfully about Logan Paul. Uh-huh. He is very much the in the moment like celebrity, you know, right. Like he's the current like hot fad of the internet. And if he does something somehow, and he's young, I mean, he's only in his 20s. So if he does something that somehow pushes him from beyond that kind of like internet celebrity into like legitimate celebrity, and I don't know what he could do. Because right now he's pursuing this boxing career, and it's like, right. I don't know, maybe if like he challenges, I don't even know who he could challenge, that, you know, but like, because he's not, I say this as a combat sports fan, he is not that great at it. Like, you know, right. he lasted 8 rounds with a 50-year-old man who weighed 40 pounds less than him.
No. And look, like, on top of all of that, you know, you talk about how Logan Paul is sort of in the now popular, you know, trading cards in general, price bubbles are a thing. Like, yep. The fact that these cards are very expensive right now is no guarantee that 5 years from now, they're also going to be very expensive. There was, you know, a period of many years where people were like, oh, your Pokemon cards that you had when you were a kid, they're worth nothing. Congratulations. And now, like, that is not the case currently, but like, you know, you've got your trading card bubble, you've got your social media influencer bubble, and both of those could pop at any time.
Yeah.
Hopefully one of those pops sooner as opposed to later, but you know, for all of our sakes, we've talked a lot about Logan Paul on this podcast, way more than I thought I would. And for those listening, if you are considering buying the Logan Paul Charizard card for $1 million, might I suggest that you instead put that $1 million into sponsoring our fine podcast, A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. You could buy yourself a lifetime sponsorship of this podcast. Please go and contact
we will put your trainer code at the top of every show and make sure you get all the raids that you want in Pokemon Go. So that is what your fine, generous sponsorship will get you. Maybe a guest. Maybe you can be on the show.
Yes, for $1 million.
For $1 million.
We've set our price.
That's it. All right, Christian, let's get the Pokemon fact of the week.
We are continuing our trek along the National Pokedex. And this week we're talking about Hoothoot and Noctowl. And Hoothoot, I discovered, has a horrifying Pokefact. Hoothoot has a special clock organ, a literal organ that only serves to tell time. And it is very likely in the Pokemon universe, the first clocks were Hoothoot organs. And that somehow, developed a sense of time thanks to Hoothoot and clocks. I don't even know what this thing looks like. Like, I was like doing a little bit of research, like, you know, because, you know, like a lot of these Pokemon facts, when they like talk about special organs and stuff like that, it's because like the actual animals have special organs. I couldn't find any references to owls having special clock organs.
No clock organs, huh?
Shockingly enough. But yeah, like that when I saw that, I was like, well, I know what our Pokefact of the week is. You know, we used to have like Hoothoot hearts as clocks during the dark days of the Pokemon.
So here's the other thing too, right? Oh, and Almac just brought it up. When you look at Hoothoot, you just assume it has 1 foot, but it does not. It actually has 2 feet.
Yes, and it switches
so fast. And you learn this in Pokemon Sword.
Yes, I too have played new Pokemon Snap, Jim. I'm assuming, of course, that you completed completed that mission in new Pokemon Snap, because you, being a co-host of the Pokemon podcast, would have completed
of
that.
Absolutely.
Yes. So you would have seen. Yeah, you would have seen his second foot, as that is one of the challenges of new Pokemon Snap, is basically chuck apples at Hoothoot.
But I would like to. But I would like to rewind to people making clocks out of Hoothoot. What?
Please go on. Continue.
Because that's messed up, right? That is the ever so slight tilt on the world of Pokemon that if you just pay attention to just a little bit, you go, oh.
Yeah, no. We're just going to read some of these because it's weird. It's weird. In Ultra Sun was the first that kind of like put two and two together here. Every day, Hoothoot tilts its head in the same rhythm. A long time ago, people raised these Pokemon to serve as clocks. It cries out at the same time every day. A long time ago, people cherished it and considered it to be a divine messenger sent to tell time. But, it's because it has this internal organ that senses and tracks the Earth's rotation. This is, I mean, like I said, it's got a, I'm thinking, what really happened is that he's, they used to rip out Hoothoot hearts and those things would just keep beating on its own. I'm calling it.
I just don't understand why that changes for, when it evolves into Noctowl. Like, it basically goes from, hey, Hoothoot's a cute little clock, to Noctowl being like vicious night predator.
Because owls are actually vicious.
I know that's what they are. I know that's what owls are. But it just goes from just clock to.
You've answered your own question, Jim. It's got to protect itself from all the people that want to turn it into clocks.
Why it evolved.
Power.
Is it just it, right? Like, is there just a Hoothoot sitting on someone's wall, like perched up on a wall that inevitably at 1 o'clock at night, it just, maybe evolves and turns into a giant Hoothoot and it's like, oh, let it out.
I will say that Noctowl's nickname that they gave, in one of the Pokedex entries is the most anime name ever. It's like the Emperor of Dark Knights. It's like, yes, give me the Emperor of Dark Knights. The Dark Angel comes to kill Rattata in the middle of the night.
I am not a thing to be kept on a wall. I am Noctowl, Emperor of Dark Knights.
I'm trying to think of the My Hero Academia character, Tokoyami. Sounds like something that he would say. That's like his hero name right there, the Emperor of Dark Knights. oh man.
Whew. But then the other thing too about Noctowl, and now that I'm looking at some of these, it's this awesome, it's this awesome predator, awesome hunter, sees well in the night. Also, extremely soft feathers. It is the cuddliest of the bird Pokemon.
the cuddliest of killers. The last thing that you will feel is like, oh, what's this gentle feeling on my back? Then it pierces into you with its talons.
At least you'll know the time. The last thing you think is like, oh, I know exactly when I've died. Excellent.
Well, there you have it. Another fantastic Pokemon fact of the week from Christian Hoffer, designed to make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. That about does it for this week's episode of the show. As always, if you are looking for ways to support the show, the best way to do so is head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Tell us what you think about the show. And if we read your 5-star review on the air, obviously, we'll as soon as we're back into the office, get some shirts out to everyone. Sorry, it's been so long for everyone else who's been waiting. But other ways to support the show, tell your friends about it. Look, if you're in a Pokemon Go local community, right? Like group on Facebook, right? I'm on one, and they have banned me from it because I have shared too many links to the podcast. But that's fine. share the link and say, hey, this is a great Pokemon podcast that you can listen to while you are on the hunt for shinies or doing raids or gym battles or whatever. Wild Podcast has appeared. It's a great show for your fans to listen to. Look, maybe your mom's looking to get into some podcasts and some new things to listen to. This is a great show for parents to listen to and maybe learn to love Pokemon with their children. We have a lot of parents that listen to this show. We are all parents here on the show. And so, by all means, it's not, it's a good idea. Anyway, other ways to support the show, obviously follow Pokemon Pod CB on Twitter. You can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me at Seahawk or Seabus.
And I'm at Rollin Bishop.
Boom. There we go. Christian Hoffer officially verified this weekend.
Yes.
On Twitter.
Yep.
Now
that's
he has
right.
an even bigger megaphone. So congratulations.
Yep.
Pokemon takes.
I will use that power responsibly. Surely.
Otherwise, if you want to get involved, if you're available to watch the show live every Monday, live on Twitch. 9 a.m. Eastern. Oh, sorry. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, and 5 p.m. across the pond. We hope. Rollin, this was a fun one. I'm glad you were able to join us on this. Had a lot of fun. We'll definitely have you back. So with that, folks, we'll catch you next week.